This is the one-stop FPL podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of One Stop FPL with me, your host, Andy Johnson. On today's episode, we'll take a look back at Game Week 20 and run through the key performers and results, and I'll give you my start and flop of the week. Before turning our attentions to Game Week 21, we'll run through the fixtures and discuss potential transfers for players in and out. We'll talk captaincy, differentials, and as always, we'll finish up with my likely team ahead of the Game Week. So, let's get into it. Hello and Happy New Year to you all. Welcome back to One Stop FPL. My apologies for not getting a Game Week 20 episode out. Some family commitments over the festive period got in the way, but I'm back for Game Week 21. And before we get into that Game Week, we'll just take a brief look back at Game Week 20. So, starting all the way back in 2023, we had Luton 2, Chelsea 3. Luton's two goals came from Adebayo and Barkley, Alfie Doughty with two assists, but Chelsea grabbed all 3 points with three goals, two of which came from Cole Palmer, who also got an assist, Madueke with the other goal for Chelsea, and a Nicholas Jackson assist. Aston Villa 3, Burnley 2. Three goals for Villa came from Bailey, Douglas Luiz and Diaby. Assists 2 for Watkins and 1 for Duran. And Burnley's two goals came from Foster and Amdouni, with Goodmanson and O'Shea getting the assists. Crystal Palace 3, Brentford 1. Two goals for Elise and 1 from Eze, with assists from Ayew, Gehi and Mitchell giving Crystal Palace the victory. A consolation goal from Lewis Potter with an assist from Ruslev gave Brentford their only goal. Manchester City 2, Sheffield United 0. Goals from Julian Alvarez and Rodri with two assists from Phil Foden gave City victory here. Wolves 3, Everton 0. Goals from Dawson, Kilman and Cunha with assists from Cunha and Hwang Hee-chan. Nottingham Forest 2, Manchester United 1. Goals for Forest came from Morgan Gibbs-White and Dominguez, with Alanga and Montiel getting the assists. Rashford on the score sheet for Manchester United and Garnacho got the assist. Then on New Year's Eve, we had Fulham 2, Arsenal 1. Goals from Decordova Reed and Raul Jimenez giving Fulham victory. Kearney got an assist as well. Bukayo Saka getting Arsenal's goal, his first return for a little while, and Gabriel Martinelli with the assist. Spurs 3, Bournemouth 1. Goals from Richarlison, Saar and Son, with two assists from Lo Celso and one assist from Brennan Johnson, giving Spurs all 3 points. Alex Scott getting Bournemouth's solitary goal with a Tavernier assist. Liverpool 4, Newcastle 2. Two goals from Mo Salah, who also got an assist. Gakpo and Curtis Jones with the other goals for Liverpool. Diogo Jota got two assists and Darwin Nunez got an assist as well. Two goals for Newcastle came from Botman and Isak, Gordon and Longstaff with the assists. And rounding off Game Week 20, we had West Ham 0, Brighton 0. No FPL returns there, apart from quite a few people who I'm sure had Areola in goal. His 8 saves gave him 3 bonus points and clean sheet points as well. Time for Star of the Week, and in Game Week 20 there was one standout candidate who gets the nod, and it's Cole Palmer at Chelsea. There were a few benching headaches for some FPL managers in Game Week 20. I myself ended up benching Cole Palmer and I have lived to regret that. 18 points was his return, the highest of anyone in this Game Week. Two goals and an assist away at Luton, and so Cole Palmer gets Star of the Week. And as for flop of the week, the standout candidate for Game Week 20 is Jarrod Bowen. Many had brought him in, looking to capitalise against a very shaky Brighton defence that had failed to keep a clean sheet in every Premier League game so far this season. And Jarrod Bowen registered an XG of precisely zero despite playing the full 90 minutes. No returns at all. A blank for Jarrod Bowen in a pretty drab 0-0 draw against a Brighton side that finally got that elusive clean sheet. So Jarrod Bowen gets flop of the week. Okay, time now to take a look at game week 21. And the game week is an interesting one as it spans across two weekends with half the Premier League teams receiving a week's break in January and then the following week, the other half of the teams get their break. It is, of course, interspersed with some FA Cup replays, so not everyone's getting a break, but it does mean that fixture congestion in January is slightly eased, which is pretty handy, really, as there are several injuries for many Premier League teams to be dealing with at the moment. So then, game week 21. The deadline for this game week is Friday, the 12th of January at 6:15 p.m. UK time. Don't get caught out by this Friday evening deadline earlier than usual. And that's because it's 90 minutes before the first game of the game week, Burnley versus Luton, 7:45 p.m. on Friday evening. Then on Saturday, we've got Chelsea versus Fulham and Newcastle versus Manchester City. And on Sunday, it's Everton hosting Aston Villa and Manchester United against Spurs. Then the following weekend, we have the rest of the game week 21 fixtures. Saturday, the 20th of January, sees Arsenal host Crystal Palace and Brentford welcome Nottingham Forest. And on Sunday, the 21st, it's Sheffield United versus West Ham and Bournemouth versus Liverpool. And rounding off game week 21, we've got Brighton versus Wolves on Monday Night Football. That's 10 fixtures spanning 11 days for game week 21. So some pretty interesting fixtures for FPL managers to be considering here. A lot of the strong teams with good FPL assets have quite tricky fixtures. If you look at the likes of Manchester City, they are, of course, away at Newcastle, which is certainly not the easiest of fixtures. Newcastle have been struggling for form of late, although the majority of those struggles have come away from home. Cole Palmer owners will be hoping that Chelsea can get the better of Fulham at Stamford Bridge in that West London derby. And Ollie Watkins owners will be hoping that Villa can continue their good form away at Everton. By no means an easy fixture, that one. Spurs' trip to Old Trafford certainly won't be straightforward, especially now that they're going to have to deal without Heung-min Son as he has gone off to the Asian Cup. They are also without the likes of Bissouma and Sarr, who are on international duty at AFCON as well. Although the main FPL asset that most people will have, I would imagine, would be Richarlison and Pedro Porro. So hopefully they can get something there. The following weekend sees Arsenal home to Palace, and that would normally be a pretty appealing fixture to be targeting for FPL managers. But Arsenal will have to improve their form. And Liverpool's trip away to Bournemouth will not be easy. Dominic Solanke in probably the best form of his career. He'll be looking to get returns against his old club. Brighton are at home to Wolves, but Brighton are very short of attacking options at the moment due to injuries and international duty absentees. And we've got West Ham away at Sheffield United. Normally a fixture against Sheffield United is one that FPL managers target heavily, but there aren't too many options at West Ham at the moment, again, due to injuries to the likes of Jarrod Bowen and Lucas Paquetá and Mohamed Kudus away on international duty. So plenty then for us to be pondering over as we approach the game week 21 deadline. And the first topic of discussion when discussing potential transfers in and out is Salah and Son. We've got to find cover for these two super popular FPL picks whilst they're both away on international duty. For how long, we're not completely certain. The likelihood is that Salah and Son will both miss game weeks 21, 22 and probably 23 and potentially even 24, depending on how well their respective teams do in each of their international tournaments. Egypt at AFCON and South Korea at the Asian Cup. Now, Jarrod Bowen was the first choice replacement, one of the most popular transfers in already this game week. But unfortunately for the almost 800,000 that brought him in so far ahead of the game week 21 deadline, he has now been confirmed injured, will almost certainly be missing game week 21, and it could be longer than that as well. We haven't had absolute definitive confirmation of how long he will be out for. There are some rumours that it could be similar time frame to that of Lucas Paquetá, also injured for around 4 to 6 weeks. But we don't know for certain if that's the same for Jarrod Bowen. But if you haven't brought him in yet, definitely don't bring him in now. Huge, huge doubt. If you have already brought him in, it could even be worth a -4 to replace him now. I know that's really frustrating, but you definitely don't want to be hanging on to a midfielder who costs around that price point for up to 4 to 6 weeks. Now, if you haven't moved early and you're still looking for your replacements, then Cole Palmer is definitely the number one choice at the moment. If you haven't already got him, definitely worth getting in. Still a really good price point. And that is absolutely key because despite the fixture run, which is starting to dry up a bit for Chelsea assets, Fulham is their next game. But after that, they've got Liverpool, Wolves, Crystal Palace, Manchester City and Tottenham. So by no means an easy set of fixtures there. But the cheap price point that Palmer offers does allow you to maintain some flexibility to your squad structure as and when you need to bring the likes of Son and Salah back, not to mention the very expensive Erling Haaland that many of us are all waiting to hear about in terms of his return to fitness and whether or not we can get him back into our teams as quickly as possible. Phil Foden is another tempting option for FPL managers to bring in as cover for Salah or Son. However, with Jeremy Doku and Kevin De Bruyne both returning to fitness and giving Pep more options, we could potentially see Foden's minutes at risk. Now, it's not a huge risk. Pep has started Phil Foden in all but 2 Premier League games this season. He's clearly trusted by Pep Guardiola, and he's been playing more centrally recently, and that has resulted in better FPL returns. So we could potentially see a change in his position if he isn't to be dropped. And that could also impact his returns. So not an absolutely guaranteed option, Phil Foden. There is always the risk of rotation under Pep Roulette. So we'll have to see how Doku and Kevin De Bruyne are reintegrated back into that starting lineup. If they are, how does that impact Phil Foden? Kevin De Bruyne, as I mentioned, back to full fitness. I do think it's a little too early to bring him in just yet. The premium midfield option is always a tempting FPL pick, but I just don't think there's too much need to urgently rush him into your sides. I don't think Pep will be urgently rushing him back into the starting 11. Although City do, of course, need to improve their form, get a bit of consistency. And I do think that Kevin De Bruyne will help that. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he's back starting every week once again. Manchester City's next 6 fixtures are Newcastle, Burnley, Brentford, Everton, Chelsea and Bournemouth. So quite a good run. And if you are interested in Manchester City assets, Phil Foden, I think, is probably the pick of the bunch. That is, of course, unless we hear concrete news that Haaland is back, in which case Haaland will obviously be the priority. Another midfield option to consider is Richarlison. 5 goals in his last 5 games, so on paper he looks like a really appealing option. But Richarlison's quite a frustrating one because he's listed as a midfielder in the game, he's playing out of position as a striker, he's likely to be on penalties now that Son is away on international duty, and he plays in a really attacking side. But his actual conversion rate from the chances that he's getting is really quite poor. Spurs aren't playing particularly well as well at the moment, especially compared to how they have been doing in recent weeks. But with players returning from injury now, we are likely to see Spurs improve, and that could of course see an increase in the number of chances that a player like Richarlison will get. So Could those chances be converted better by Richarlison? I certainly think so. If he continues to struggle to convert those chances, we could even see new signing Timo Werner be given a chance centrally. Now, his pace will be a very tempting tool for Ange Postecoglou to use to help stretch the play. I would imagine we're more likely at the moment to see him play out on the left in that position that Son has been playing in recent weeks. But whilst he's away, we could see Werner play there. We could see Brennan Johnson continue to play there. We could see Kulusevski play centrally now that Lo Celso has been confirmed injured. That could see the likes of Brennan Johnson move to the right and the space out on the left for Timo Werner to start. But there is always the potential for Richarlison's minutes to be limited once again if Timo Werner is preferred centrally. So keep an eye on that one. If you've already got Richarlison, I don't think there's an urgent need to sell him because of the signing of Timo Werner just yet. Just keep an eye and see how Werner gets utilised by Ange. And if he is a threat to Richarlison, then perhaps we can deal with that when we come to it. If you haven't yet bought Richarlison as cover for Son, then perhaps approach with caution. Maybe just give it another week and just see if we get any clues as to how Timo Werner is utilised at Spurs. The final option I'm going to propose as midfield cover is Pascal Gross at Brighton. An interesting pick. Many FPL managers would normally have gone for someone like a Matoma or a Solly March, who have pretty good FPL pedigree. But with injuries and international tournaments limiting Brighton's options in attack and in midfield, then Pascal Gross is actually one of the most appealing options. I do think, at times, Gross is a bit overlooked. 6 assists and 3 goals in the first half of the season. And if he continues at that rate of return, that will be a pretty solid season from the midfielder, priced at 6.5 million. Perhaps one of the reasons he is so often overlooked is that price point. Many other options at similar prices have been doing very well this season, so perhaps that is why he's not been so readily considered as a viable option in our midfields. Brighton's fixtures do look very good, by the way. Wolves up next, then Luton, Crystal Palace, Tottenham, Sheffield United and Everton make up the next 6 fixtures for Brighton. So don't be at all surprised to see more and more FPL managers going for Brighton assets in midfield. And they could also go for Brighton assets in defence. The next topic of conversation for transfers is defence, and that is because of the news of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Injured, could be out for around 3 weeks. That's the current thinking. And it does mean that many who brought him in last week or have brought him in early this week now have another issue to resolve. And speaking of Brighton FPL assets, Estupiñán is back. The left back has been fantastic for getting attacking returns from defence for FPL managers over the last season or two. And back from injury, he does look a very appealing option with those fixtures that I've just mentioned for Brighton. The Spurs defenders are also particularly appealing. We've already highlighted Pedro Porro in previous episodes, and he continues to be a reliable pick in our defence for getting attacking returns. We've also got Spurs defenders Van de Ven and Romero, who are due back fairly soon, and that could also mean that new signing Radu Dragušin is not necessarily guaranteed minutes from the off. It does, however, mean that there is an increased chance of Spurs clean sheets when they are back to full fitness across that back four. Elsewhere in defence, Lascelles minutes look to be limited once again, especially now that Newcastle's first choice back four all seem to be fit once again. And with Tsimikas injured and Kabore going off on international duty, our budget defensive picks are dwindling in terms of options. We've got Gusto, who continues to be quite a popular pick. He's just 4.2 for Chelsea. Not necessarily guaranteed start, but at the moment his minutes look fairly good with Reece James injured. Charlie Taylor at Burnley continues a very viable 3.9 million option. Has got a couple of attacking returns in recent weeks, but that Burnley defence is far from assured of points. Elsewhere, Luton's Alfie Doughty has been putting in some very good attacking returns recently, but he is 4.5, which I suppose is on the slightly pricier side for a defender at Luton, but he does offer attacking potential threat. 5 assists and a goal already this season. Other budget options include Baldock at 3.9 for Sheffield United, who is once again playing 90 minutes each week since the return of Chris Wilder. And of course, Everton's Jarrod Branthwaite, who is very appealing on the eye, very, very good defender, just 4.1 and playing every single minute for Everton. The reason why I list these budget options is because we do have to consider how we're going to afford Salah, Son and Haaland once they're all available again. We know that at least 2 out of those 3 are going to be pretty important if we want to keep pace with the rest of the pack when they are fit and firing once again. Okay, time now to take a look at a few differentials. And we're starting off with Manchester United midfielder Garnacho. 4.8 million and still only 5.4% owned. Garnacho has 3 returns in his last 2 appearances. And he starts every single game for Manchester United. In a team that has been struggling of late, he is a bit of a shining light. And the real bonus here is, once again, he's cheap enough for you to not have to worry about trying to fit in those premium assets like your Salah, Son and Haaland once they're back from international duty and injury. Manchester United's next 6 fixtures, well, they've got Tottenham this week at home, so not necessarily easy there. But after that, they face Wolves, West Ham, Aston Villa, Luton and Fulham. So not too bad a run of fixtures either for Garnacho. Next up, we've got a player who I've just mentioned. It's Luton defender Alfie Doughty. He's 4.5 million and he's just 3.3% owned. Now, this Luton defender is getting attacking returns at the moment, and you could see him feature in a double game week for Luton quite soon, with the match against Bournemouth that got suspended still to be rearranged and replayed. Luton's next 6 fixtures are against Burnley, Brighton, Newcastle, Sheffield United, Manchester United and Liverpool. So those last 2 there, pretty tricky, but a nice run of 4 fixtures there where you could potentially see some returns from this Luton defender. So a nice way to separate yourself from the rest of your mini leagues, as I would imagine there aren't too many who are seeking a Luton fullback at the moment. And the final differential this week is Van de Ven at Spurs. 4.4 million, pretty cheap price for a Tottenham defender, just 1.2% owned. The Spurs centre-back returns after a long layoff through a hamstring injury, and he is absolutely vital to the way that Ange sets up his teams. That high line means that his pace is invaluable, and I do think that there is now also an increased chance in a few Spurs clean sheets with him, potentially Romero back as well. We could see Spurs back 4 back to full strength. Tottenham's run of fixtures, Manchester United away this week, so not the easiest. After that, they've got Brentford, Everton, Brighton, Wolves and Chelsea. Not too bad, but a nice differential as well. 1.2% owned means you'll certainly be setting yourselves apart from the rest of the teams in your mini league going with Van de Ven. Captaincy now, and I do think that the leading candidates are Cole Palmer, who is at home to Fulham, and Bukayo Saka, who is at home to Crystal Palace. I think there are other viable options as well. We've got Alvarez, not a bad choice away at Newcastle, given their form at the moment. And of course, Ollie Watkins away at Everton is an option as well. They're pretty tricky, though, I have to say, both away. Newcastle pretty strong at home, despite their struggling form at the moment. And Everton will not be easy at Goodison Park. But I think I will be going for Cole Palmer. I think that's mainly down to the fixture. I do think at home against Fulham, certainly on paper, that feels like the most appealing. Crystal Palace have been in quite good form of late and Arsenal have been struggling. So I am slightly reluctant to put the armband on Bukayo Saka this week. So I'm leaning towards Cole Palmer. Right then, just time to run through my likely team ahead of game week 21. And we'll start in goal. I'm opting for Areola for West Ham. They are away at Sheffield United. And that means I'm leaving Dubravka for Newcastle as they host Manchester City. Dubravka, I'm leaving on the bench. My back three at the moment is Gabriel at home to Crystal Palace, Pedro Porro away at Manchester United, and I'm rolling the dice slightly here with Charlie Taylor of Burnley at home to Luton. He is flagged at the moment as he is an injury doubt. So we are waiting to find out whether or not there's any last minute information or team leaks from Burnley. And then I may have to make an extra transfer to field a full 11. You'll see why in a minute, because my midfield four is Richarlison away at Manchester United, Saka at home to Crystal Palace, Cole Palmer at home to Fulham, and I've brought in Pascal Gross at home against Wolves. He comes in for Mo Salah. Up front, my front three is Ollie Watkins away at Everton, Dominic Solanke at home against Liverpool, and Julian Alvarez away at Newcastle. At the moment, the captain's armband is on Cole Palmer at home to Fulham. It means that my current bench sees Heung-min Son and Trent Alexander-Arnold on it, both currently unavailable. Son through international duty and Alexander-Arnold through injury. And Jamal Lascelles of Newcastle, who is now no longer getting minutes because of the returns from injury that Newcastle have defensively. So what that means is that if Charlie Taylor doesn't play, then I am definitely going to only have 10 players playing this week. Obviously, that's far from ideal, but I do feel slightly reluctant to take a minus four to replace Taylor. I would probably lean towards bringing in Estupiñán for him if I was going to do it. I would actually probably leave Taylor on my bench and then probably sell Lascelles because he's just not getting any minutes anymore and bring in Estupiñán for him. That would also, of course, mean that Estupiñán would come straight into the starting lineup and I would be benching Burnley's Taylor. The only issue with that is it would cost me 4 points. So the only way to make that worth it would be if I felt really convinced that at the very least, Brighton were going to get a clean sheet at home to Wolves, because that would be a 6-point return. And at the moment, Taylor's not even guaranteed an appearance point. So that could potentially be worth doing, but there's absolutely no guarantee that Brighton get a clean sheet. They've only got one all season, and that happened last game week against West Ham. So by no means guaranteed of a clean sheet. Of course, Estupiñán could get an attacking return, which is the main reason people are buying him anyway. And certainly the reason I would be looking to bring him in would not be for those clean sheet points, but those attacking returns instead. So there's a good argument for paying the minus four to bring him in, especially if you're looking to bring in Haaland as soon as he's fit again. You know that that is one transfer completely guaranteed to happen and earmarked out for future game weeks. So anything else that you want to do, you're going to have to pay extra for unless you've got a second free transfer. So maybe I'm talking myself into now doing it. We'll see. There's still a couple of hours to go before the deadline. Let's see if I get an itchy trigger finger and go for the hit, minus four, and just bring in Estupiñán anyway. And that just about wraps up everything for this episode. Good luck to absolutely everyone chasing a green arrow in game week 21. Thank you very much to you all for listening to One Stop FPL. My name is Andy Johnson. You can find me on Twitter or X at One Stop FPL or at Andy J Audio. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you again soon.